Chefs become famous for a lot of reasons. Some you might question, but with others, you always want to see what they're doing next. Well, right now, the food world tracks Sean Brock's every move. He's the chef of two restaurants in Charleston, Husk and McCrady's. Now, the reason for the tracking, Sean is bringing back old, forgotten Southern plants, ingredients, and dishes, and he's doing it brilliantly. He works with historians and scientists and farmers, and this man is deep into transcendental pork. Well, Sean joins us from Charleston. Sean, good to talk to you. Good to have you with us.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you so much.
So, Sean, I know you are part of the lard core movement in the South, right? This is a group of you chefs down South who are really digging into Southern traditions. But what is the most important thing about lard for you?
Well, you know, for us, we don't use it because it's trendy. We don't use it because of any other reason than the fact that we use whole animals and we have lots of lard. And so if you think about it, that's the way it used to be. That's the old-fashioned way. You slaughtered a pig and used every single part, and you used lard until you ran out of it, and then you slaughtered another pig. And so for us, we're very focused on using the entire animal. So we have lots of lard, and it just works its way into our cuisine, and it doesn't hurt that it's absolutely delicious.
And this is very much a part of Southern history, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the primary fat source pretty much throughout the 18th century and certainly the 19th century until really Crisco was invented, which was the very early part of the 20th century, around 1910 or 1911, I believe. People grew up eating it. And you know, people are scared of it these days because they think it's so unhealthy, but it actually has less saturated fat than butter. Huh. It's all in moderation.
Yeah, yeah. So for you, when you work with lard, what kinds of things are you doing with it?
Well, for us, it's really our primary cooking source. You know, at Husk, we have a wood-burning oven, and pretty much everything goes in there. And we just have a huge container of rendered lard, and instead of, you know, canola oil or anything like that. So if we're cooking a piece of catfish, if we're roasting a chicken, we're using lard. It goes so well with that wood-burning oven. Just makes things so delicious.
I've heard tell of lard caramel sauce, which sounds pretty interesting.
Well, you know, it's so much fun to work with if you just think of it as a fat. So one thing that we do that I think is really wonderful is we put it into the smoker and we smoke it and we render it in the smoker. And then we have this smoked lard that we then turn into a caramel and we'll sometimes add some whiskey to it. And you can serve that with just about anything. It's unbelievable. We pretty much can take any recipe, a pound cake even, and just any of the fat that's in any recipes and use the lard. We've even been known to take it and spin it into cotton candy.
You're singing my song. So can I make lard at home?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There are several kinds of lard, and it all comes from different parts of the animal. You have the leaf lard, and then you have the fat back. I think the most prized is really the leaf lard, and that's what people want to use for, those wonderful, flaky, delicious, tender pie crust. But there's not a whole lot of it. That's the lard that's right around the kidneys, and it's really, really sweet and really delicious and really allows you to have that flaky pie crust. But the fat back is certainly wonderful, and there's tons of that, and there's a million different ways to do it. You know, if you want to render lard for your home, there are two ways. There's the dry method and the wet method. The wet method, you actually add water to it and boil it, and that helps retain the smoke point.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to be using it to really cook with at high temperatures, like to roast and sear,
right?
Then you want to use the wet method because the dry, you literally just put it in the pot, and so that's reducing your smoke point. So for us, we always do the wet.
So the wet would be I would take whatever fat I have that would be attached to meat, perhaps, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it could be from any part of the animal.
From any part of the animal. So I could be trimming it off a pork chop or any of that. Mm-hmm. And I could even store it in the freezer maybe and then do it all at once, right?
Right. And so the fat won't emulsify into the water. So, you know, you render it down, Basically, you're melting it. And then
into
once
the
it's
water.
Melted,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, and then you can remove the fat from the water by refrigerating it.
And then the fat just floats on the top. I take it all out, and I've got lard.
Yeah, and one thing that's a lot of fun to do is to flavor that lard during that process with maybe some hard herbs like rosemary or marjoram or thyme and some garlic and some chili flake and some lemon. And then we'll mix it with butter at the restaurant. That's our table service. That's our bread service. So we take butter and lard, flavored lard, and we whip it, and then that's what you put on your rolls.
Small quantities, but really delicious. Now, what about the commercial lard sold in the stores?
Well, here's the thing about that. There's actually two things to remember. One, it's not coming from a heritage breed pig, so the flavor is really not going to be there. And two, in order to allow it to be shelf-stable, you notice they don't refrigerate it.
Right.
It's hydrogenated, just like Crisco, which I think affects the flavor a little bit and the texture. My suggestion is to get to know a butcher that is proud to carry heritage breeds, and I can promise you that they have lots and lots of lard lying around.
And if they don't make the lard themselves, they can give you the fat and you can make it yourself.
Yeah, and it's so inexpensive and it's so delicious. It just gives your food so much character. Use it like butter, you know. People use tons of butter and everything. So I think that as long as you use it in moderation, there's nothing wrong with it, and it can really add a lot of character to your food.
Sean Brock, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Sean Brock is chef at McCready's and Husk in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, for more information on his work with Heritage Foods, go to the website splendidtable.org.